Blog Talk Radio.
Got a really good show for you guys today, and I mean we got a show for you. Well, anyway, what I'm going to do, I'm going to just go ahead on and I'm going to let Miss Tamaya Gaines, okay, the Uplifting Communities talk show host, bring our special guest on. Tamaya, you can go ahead, bring our guest on.
Thank you, Mr. Brown, for that warm introduction. And hello to my Uplifting Communities talk show audience. My name is Tamaya Gaines, and I'm going to co-host tonight's show along with Mr. John Brown. And tonight's show is going to be information-packed, so we're going to get right into it as we have a lot to cover. As you all know, tonight we will be discussing AB 3121, better known as California Reparations, or that's the California Reparations Task Force Committee. And joining us is the lead organizer of CJEC, Chris Lodgson. Everybody give Chris Lodgson a nice, warm welcome.
All right.
Thank you so much for having me. Yep. I appreciate it.
Mr. Lodgson, why don't you tell our uplifting community audience a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So first, thank you, John and Tamaya. I appreciate you for having me again. And also a big shout out to the whole Uplifting Communities audience, wherever you're listening from. Appreciate you for being here and listening for what is going to be a great show about California reparations. And I am originally from New York City. I'm a California resident now. I've been in California for about 8 or so years, since about 2015, and have been working very fortunately with and alongside the California Reparations Task Force. Our organization, CJEC, is really, as far as we know, the only statewide organization born just for reparations for Black Americans whose ancestors built this country. We worked in 2019 and 2020 to help write the final version of the law that created the California Reparations Task Force. You just mentioned it, AB 3121. That was the law that created the task force. And we have since been working to make sure that people know about California reparations and are part of the California reparations. And we are one of 7 so-called community anchor organizations selected by the First in the Nation Reparations Task Force.
All righty. So as the lead organizer, tell us about some of your day-to-day duties. Like, are you responsible, or have you been directly involved in the writing of the proposal itself?
Yeah, great question. So that is part of my job, although I say part of my job because we have so many amazing volunteers and folks who do amazing work all across the state of California. So part of my job is to help us at CJEC, at the coalition, help people in our community actually develop community-built and community-sourced reparations plans and proposals that then go to the State Reparations Task Force for their consideration. The State Reparations Task Force right now is working on what will be the final plan for reparations. That plan is due on July 1st of this year. And so right now what I help do is help folks at our coalition think about things that the regular black folks like me and you want in the reparations plan and then get those things to the State Reparations Task Force.
Well, I can tell you what I want. Most people on this call, I want my money.
Talk about it. That's the most common thing we hear. We want the money.
Okay, so I don't know how much our audience knows about, the preliminary findings and the most recent report that was just put out.
Right.
But in the executive summary, I know that the task force is addressing a lot of policies, institutional racism policies, just a lot of policies in general.
Right.
My question
right.
to you, Chris, how does that help African Americans as a whole, right? Because if you go in and you dump more money into these policies that have traditionally been oppressive, how does it help us, and who's going to govern that process within these organizations?
Yeah, great question. And if I could answer that, I want to take a step back and just give folks some more context, too, about the report that you're talking about, which is the 500 or so page report that the State of California Reparations Task Force released publicly last June. So June of 2022, the State of California Reparations Task Force released what is their middle way or halftime or early report. And really that early report documents and brings together all of what the task force learned in its first year of work. The State of California Reparations Task Force started their work in June of 2021. And so the following year, June of 2022, they put out this 500-page report that really put together and documented all of the things that they learned in their first year. And what you're talking about is the executive summary of that report, which talks in summary about some of the things that the task force is going to be working to fix. And it's important for folks to know that that first report really is a documenting or bringing together of all that the task force learned in their first year of work. The final report, which is due on July 1st of this year, with the plans and proposals in it, that report will have the final recommendations for what the reparations will be. And I'll say one more thing on this, and this is important for folks to understand, too. In the law that created the California Reparations Task Force, we referenced it a couple of times now, AB 3121, Assembly Bill 3121, that bill was signed into law in 2020 by Governor Gavin Newsom. It was written by then Assembly Member Dr. Shirley Weber, now California's first black Secretary of State, Dr. Shirley Weber. And in that law, and this is to your question, the State of California Reparations Task Force is required to create a reparations plan that has reparations plans and recommendations and things in it in five different forms. So the first form is compensation. The second form is restitution. The third form is rehabilitation. The fourth form is what we call guarantees of non-repetition. And the fifth form is what we call satisfaction. And so the State of California Reparations Task Force, and this is, again, to your question, will be recommending changes to policies, changes to laws. That's in the what you might call the guarantees of non-repetition bucket. But there will also be things in the compensation bucket and things in the restitution bucket and things in the rehabilitation bucket and things in the satisfaction bucket also. So the last part of your question about who will or could or should be in charge of helping to make this real. So the State of California Reparations Task Force is already recommending, and this is in the first report that you referenced, the State of California Reparations Task Force is already recommending the creation of something called CAFA, C-A-A-F-A, the California African American Freedmen Agency. And this would be the place in our government, in our state, that would be in charge of, a part of, helping to make sure that the things that the State Reparations Task Force wanted and the things that are in the reparations legislation that's coming next actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, how the citizens of California, how are they going to know when to put in their proof and stuff, you know, for reparation? How the state is supposed to let people know?
Great question. So the question is about how do you show that you're eligible for reparations in California?
Right.
And
So how are we going to do that?
Right. So the State of California Reparations Task Force decided last year, early March or so last year, actually late March of last year, who would be eligible for reparations in California. And they said that those who would be eligible for reparations in California are those African Americans who are California residents who are also descendants of U.S. slavery. So in order to be eligible for reparations in California, you have to have at least one ancestor who was enslaved in this country, anywhere in this country, by this country, and you have to be a current California resident also. So that is who the state task force said will be eligible for reparations in California. So the other part of your question, how do people show that? How do people demonstrate that? That is to be determined. The state task force is still working on the details about how they want people to show that they are descendants of U.S. slavery, how they want people to confirm that they are descendants of U.S. slavery, that they have at least one ancestor who was enslaved in this country by this country. And part of the answer to this question is actually also part of the answer to the last question. And I mean by that this. So in addition to the CAFLA, the California African American Freedmen Agency, that the state task force is also recommending, in addition to being in charge of making sure that the reparations go out in the right way, what this agency will also be responsible for is something called the Office of Genealogy. And there will be an office in this state agency that will be responsible for helping people show that they are descendants of U.S. slavery. So helping people pay for the records if they need records, and helping people do the research if they need to do any research.
Oh, okay. Okay, so they're making it easy, pretty easy for people to actually prove that there was descendants of African slaves. Okay,
that is
all right.
That is the goal. Yes.
Okay, I just need to let the audience know this. If you guys want to ask a question, you are listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show. Okay, and if you guys want to ask Mr. Chris Logston a question, please press 1. And then I'll let you guys in, all right? So go ahead on finish up, Chris, what you were saying.
So I do want to just add a couple pieces to this, too, because it's important to understand why the State Reparations Task Force decided that those who would be eligible for reparations have to be descendants of U.S. slavery. It's a very, very important question to ask and important point to make. Why did the task force decide this, and why didn't the task force say something else? Like, you know, you just have to say you're black and then you get reparations. Why do this way? So the first answer to that question is the State of California Reparations Task Force, by law, actually the law that created this is actually specifically for those who are descendants of U.S. slavery. So it's actually in the law that created the California Reparations Task Force. It says somewhere in the law, this is a task force to study and develop reparations proposals with special consideration for African Americans who are descendants of persons enslaved in the United States. So it's in the law that this is who would be eligible for reparations in California. Also, what the author of the law wanted, the author of the law, now Secretary of State Dr. Shirley Weber, told the State of California Reparations Task Force at least a couple times now when they asked her, who did you write this law for? Who did you want to be eligible for reparations? She has said multiple times now that I wanted and I wrote this for those who are descendants of U.S. slavery. The other reason, and this is the last point that I'll make, the other reason that it is for those of us who are descendants of U.S. slavery is because in California and actually anywhere in the country, it is usually illegal and usually against our Constitution to do government laws or government policies that either are specifically for one racial group of people or specifically against one racial group of people. So it would be almost certainly illegal and almost certainly against our state and federal laws and constitution to have a reparations that says just walk in the place, check a box and say you're black and you get reparations. That would be almost certainly illegal. And so that is also why the State of California Reparations Task Force decided what it did.
All right. Well, you know, go ahead, Tamaya.
Yeah, that's interesting because when you talk about inclusion and exclusion of a certain group of people, the report also wants to target identifying and eliminating anti-black housing discrimination policies and practices, right? And shortly, and I don't know how many people know this, so I'll just go ahead and recite it really, really quickly. Shortly after the Federal Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the California Housing and Employment Act of 1959 prohibited discrimination, we later learned that several state and federal agencies upheld the discriminatory practices. Well, with that coupled with the absence of affirmative action, what makes, and I don't want to sound cynical, but what makes this task force feel like this is going to be successful here in California? Why not just use that money and give us more compensation?
Yeah, great question. And so I think, and no worries, it doesn't sound cynical at all, right? So feel free. And these are good questions, and these are important questions to be asking. So I think the State of California, and again, the State of California Reparations Task Force specifically, is required by law to address the institution of slavery and the things that came after slavery, specifically the impact of those things on the descendants of U.S. slavery. And it is also required, as I mentioned, by law, to create reparations in five different forms. And compensation is one of them, but they, again, are required by law to create reparations that are in the form of restitution, which means the return of land or the return of property. Also, the form of rehabilitation, which means the sort of non-financial stuff, so free college, free medical services from cradle to the grave, free legal services, things like that. The guarantees of non-repetition, and these are, and this is more to your question, these are the changes to the laws, the changes to the policies, the changes so that the things that happen to us, like our very severe discrimination in housing and really anti-black American racism in housing, et cetera, changes to the laws, changes to the policies so that those things don't happen again. Some things compensation can fix. Some things compensation can't fix. And I think that's the thinking behind why the state task force is working to deal with a bunch of different things through a bunch of different ways. And, you know, we can definitely talk more about, you know, how likely the reparations legislation that's coming is to succeed and sort of what the future of the reparations legislation is. But that is why the state task force is working to address a multitude of different things, for example, like housing. And you're absolutely right. The State of California Reparations Task Force report does have a whole chapter on housing. I think it's chapter 5, right? It's an entire chapter on what was done to us in the housing market. And as you probably well know, I think you're in the real estate game too, right? As you well know, there's so much that's done to us in the housing. It's not just that it's hard for us to get the type of lending. It's not just that it's hard for us to get the type of appraisal. It's not just that it's hard for us to rent and actually afford our rent. Most of our people are actually renting. It's not just that we were pushed into certain neighborhoods and not allowed to go into other neighborhoods. I mean, there's so much in the housing space that has been done against us, from the zoning laws to et cetera, that the idea for the State of California Reparations Task Force is to get at all of those things and also include the compensation, too.
Okay. Right. And then just kind of back off of that, one second, Mr. Brown, just kind of piggyback off that. I guess I was speaking more on the non-repetition, right, because we do have a people problem. It's a cultural issue. But and for those listening, one of the things that I read that most would be really pleased with is that part of the reparations proposal in the executive summary, they want to get rid of and eliminate past due child support owed to the government for the non-custodial parents, which is going to be huge because I know that prevented a lot of African Americans, especially in our culture, from getting driver's licenses, jobs, and just everything across the board. It's even hit their credit, right? Which again goes into other areas of life, which you know, which for buying homes and all that stuff. So, yeah. So just a little tidbit.
Well, yeah. We got a board feelings. A lot of people want to come in and ask questions.
Let's
Are you ready?
I'm ready,
Chris. All right.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Let's go.
Okay. Hold on.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Call us. State
Hello.
Your name and where you're calling from.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hello? Okay, yes. My name is Sir Leonard. My name is Sir Leonard Hamilton. I was a resident of California pretty much all my life. I was born in France. My father actually put the communication lines and explosives to attack Hitler in 1942, Korea and Vietnam. He's 98, he's 99 this October. To make a long story short, some of us have family members of history. We can go back to the 1800s. And that had invented things. How do you equate of passing out fairly across the board reparation for those that had invented things that the world had benefited from? Such as, you know, you got people with the people that who invented the plane, the train and stuff, their family should be treated just like the Rockefellers or the DuPont. So how do you pay them for somebody that family didn't do the same thing or put out certain effort of doing things that they should be paid for and the family should be treated worldly?
Great question. And thank you for
that.
Yeah, no, thank you. And that's a great question. And thank you. And first of all, thank you for the work that you have done. Thank you for the work that your family has done and for what you've contributed
to
our people's lives. Mm-hmm.
I've been an activist for the Pan-Africanism movement that helped Mandela get out of prison, also Geronimo Pratt. And at the time, it was trying to help Malia. I ended up being falsely confined myself. But that's neither here or there. But I'm kind of really curious about that. How
because
the natives still get paid. And how much is this just one lump sum? I think as the economy changed, the raising of the reparations should change as well.
I don't think
it should be just, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I understand exactly what you're saying. I want to answer these really, really good questions. Yeah. I'll take them in turn. So again, just want to give you some flowers here for what you've contributed and what your family has contributed first, and just out of respect. So I just want to start there. As Tamaya mentioned earlier, and I think she was reading from the first report of the California Reparations Task Force. It's a 12 chapter report. It's available publicly online now, and it has in it a bunch of different things. One of the things in it, though, is something that you are talking about, which is control and the theft of our intellectual property, our creative property, and our contributions and invention. There's a whole chapter, actually, about what was stolen from us, from our intellectual property, what our inventors created and was stolen from us, and how much we're owed for that. So there's the State of California Reparations Task Force dedicated a whole chapter to just what you're talking about. And they, part of the hearing that they held last year, they brought in folks who worked in the creative industry, folks who worked in the film industry, folks who work in the television industry, folks who are creators of actual physical, tangible things, to actually talk about what we've lost and what we're owed. So you should know that the California Reparations Task Force has been focusing on this, and again, there's a whole chapter on this in the State of California Reparations report. That's the first point. The second point is
that the – so to your question about, you know, should somebody who, for example, whose family is eligible but maybe didn't contribute in the same way that your family did, should we all get the same thing, right? That's sort of the – sort of underlying some of that question. And the answer is we don't know yet if all of us will get the same exact amount of everything. And here's why I say that. So part of the new state agency that the Reparations Task Force will be creating, there will be in there, in addition to the Office of Genealogy that I talked about earlier, there will be something in there called the Reparations Tribunal. The Reparations Tribunal. And what this will be the place where people who have individual and even in many cases elevated levels of claims will be able to make their elevated levels of claims. So let me actually make that make sense for you. So I'll give you my own personal example. As I mentioned, I'm originally from New York, but I live in California, and I've been a California resident for 8 years now. I'm also a descendant of U.S. slavery. So that means that I am technically eligible for California reparations. However, I have the pleasure of working with people whose ancestors were brought to California enslaved in the 1840s and the 1850s, and whose family have been in California since then. So I've made the point that although I think I should get something and we should all get something, those of us who are eligible, I should not get the same thing as, for example, our brothers and sisters whose ancestors have been in California for, you know, since there was a California. And so part of what this Reparations Tribunal will be there to do will be to help folks make elevated claims on top of what everybody else is getting to. So, for example, if you have a special contribution, if you have, like a lot of our brothers and sisters have been locked up and spent a lot of time in the penitentiary, if you was a victim of the drug war, et cetera, you may have an elevated claim on top of the base claim that all of us who are eligible will get. So the short answer to that question is not everybody, it's not clear yet whether or not everybody who's eligible will be eligible for the same thing. There may be some of us who are eligible for a little bit more than others based on what we've contributed, based on maybe how long we've been in the state. Some of these details are still being worked out now, but the short answer to your question is that somebody who has a particular elevated or special claim on top of their basic eligibility may be able to say, hey, my family, you know, had intellectual property stolen and we deserve a little bit extra, or my family was, you know, was incarcerated for X amount of time and it was unjust incarceration, we deserve a little bit extra, or my family came here enslaved to California, worked the gold mines, enslaved in California as a slave, and we've been in California since the start, we deserve a little bit extra. And this is part of what the Reparations Tribunal will be asked to help us figure out. The last part of your question is about is this a one-time lump sum, and will this adjust with how our economy changes? Y'all know we're going through the inflation era right now, right? Price of everything is up. Gas is on the way back up now, which is crazy. So yes. Will this be a one-time lump sum thing, or will it adjust and be a multiple-year thing? Our expectation, and again, we don't know yet because the final plan, as I mentioned, is coming out in July of this year. So all of these details will be in the final plan. I can tell you what the task force has talked about, though. They've talked about a couple of things. One, making this a multi-part, not just one lump sum thing. They talked about it. There's no decisions about that yet. They've also talked about making sure that the reparations that come are able to adjust with our economy. And they've also talked about, and I'm sure this is going to come up too at some point, they've also talked about making it tax exempt so that we're not paying taxes on the money that people owe us anymore.
Isn't that what Bill Clinton that came out with a law at the time for anybody that received inheritance? If tax the individual on that, didn't he come out with that bill? I can't remember what number the bill was.
He probably did. These are called estate taxes, right? Now this will be a little bit different because those are for like inheritances that get passed down, and there could be tax exemption for that too. We're talking about the compensation that you get as somebody who's eligible
right.
for reparations in California. You know, we don't want you having to pay no taxes on that.
Well, I don't.
Right.
I don't believe the natives actually get taxed on theirs, and they get it each month, supposed to be or a year or something like that.
Yeah. Excuse me. Okay. I know all these questions are very, very important. Okay, but we got a board full. I got hands up. So, and we only limited time. So what I'm going to have to do, I'm going to have to go ahead on and let's move on to the next person, because I'm quite sure that they want to ask an important question too. But
I didn't know my question was that powerful.
Yeah, your question was very well.
Great question,
yeah.
Brother. Great question.
Yeah.
Mr. Brown, can
we move on?
Let me just chime in here really quickly for Sir Leonard and everybody else who's listening and may or may not get their questions answered. Tomorrow there is a public hearing. The California Reparations Task Force is having a public hearing. You can attend in person or virtually, and I will post that information after tonight's call. So you can take the next caller.
All right. Okay, thanks a lot for calling in, sir. Okay, let's go to you. Ready for the next person, Mr. Chris?
Oh yeah, let's work.
All
yes,
right.
Sir.
Okay, caller from last number 5319. State your name and where you're calling from.
My name is C.J. Fullwilder. I'm calling from West Hollywood, California. I heard you mention restitution regarding, I guess, folks that have gotten their property stolen from them for many reasons besides just racism,
yes,
eminent domain, things of that nature. Property going to be on the table as a package as part of the reparations, because most of the wealth in America started out, at least generational wealth, started out with real estate, land. And honestly, just giving us money is just it's just another way of boosting this economy. We're just gonna be spending it and not investing with it. So I mean, I just want to know, is property certainty in the package of reparations?
Great question. Thank you for that question. And shout out to everybody out there in West Hollywood. Shout out to the whole California, the whole state. Appreciate y'all for checking in. The answer is yes. And that is a part of what the State of California Reparations Task Force is required to consider. And again, it's that second part that you correctly said. It's restitution, and restitution is the return of land, the return of property, and/or the return of you to our best ability to a place where you would have been or could have been had you not had your stuff taken away from you in the first place. That's what restitution is about. And again, the California Reparations Task Force by law is required to create reparations in those five forms. So it's compensation plus restitution plus rehabilitation plus guarantees of non-repetition plus satisfaction equals reparations in California. The California Reparations Task Force, as we've been talking about in their first report, has a whole chapter on, I think it's called unjust property takings. Literally, unjust property takings, and that is something that the Reparations Task Force is very, very much focused on, not just through what we were talking about earlier as how we were locked out of housing or prevented from getting housing in the way that we should have, although that's important, but it's also when we had it, how it was taken away through eminent domain and through all kind of other trickery. So the answer is yes, absolutely.
All right. Okay, well, like I said, we got a board full. Let's get on down the road. All right. Caller from 4266, last four number. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Joyce Pennebaker, fellow New Yorker to you, sir. I have been in California for about 30 years, and my question is timeline. is how long is this supposed to take for us people that are up in age? Are we looking at years, or are we looking at the less years?
Thank you for that question. That is one of the most important questions and most common questions that we get. So the question is, how long is this going to take? And as I mentioned, when the plan comes out in July, what happens after the plan comes out? Do we just get the reparations right then and there? What happens after the plan comes out? So let me talk a little bit about what the timeline is. And again, thank you for this question. So the plan for reparations comes out, and I think the deadline is July 1st of this year. So July 1st, 2023, which is, you know, maybe 4 or 5 months away now, the State of California Reparations Task Force has to release their final plan publicly. Now, they will be developing their plan in public at the public hearings. And thank you, Tamaya, for saying that there are public hearings actually tomorrow and Saturday in Sacramento. You can watch them virtually or you can attend them in person. I'm here in Sacramento myself now, so I will be at the public hearings. We're at all public hearings, by the way, and all public hearings are live streamed on YouTube also and on our website. And we can give more contact info later. So, but the plan itself will be being developed in public, and part of what the public hearings are about is hearing from people like yourself and myself and others about what we want in the plan. The plan is due July 1st. When the plan comes out on July 1st, that plan then gets sent to the governor, it gets sent to the state senate, and it gets sent to the state assembly for the state politician and the state government to put into legislation to make law. The earliest we expect, and by we, I'm talking about us at the Coalition for Just and Equitable California, CJEC, the earliest we expect to see actual reparations legislation is sometime this time next year. So sometime this time next year, early 2024, we expect that potentially the first round of California reparations legislation will be making its way toward the governor's desk for him to sign into law. Our expectation will be that is that will be sometime in 2024. A lot of work has to happen between now and then. We're going to have to get the majority of the state senate, the majority of the state assembly, and the governor to agree to the plan and agree to the legislation. But the earliest we expect to see the first round of this actually going toward law and going toward actually being real is sometime this time next year. That's the earliest. And I think there will probably be multiple rounds of reparations legislation. That's something, you know, that may happen. But again, the earliest we expect to see something happening around reparations legislation and then ultimately reparations law and actual real stuff and real folks' life is as early as 2024.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling in, Carla. Okay, and let's move on down the road. Okay. Callers from 0072, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Brenda, and I'm calling from Sacramento. My question was, hey, I had a question regarding the California reparations, the recipients. Are those recipients the ones who were born in California? Are we talking about our ancestors, like my family's from, you know, Oklahoma area that came here early in the 1900s? So, but I was born in California. How does that work? I mean, am I looking at this wrong?
No, you're not. And great question. And hopefully, because you're in Sacramento, you have some time tomorrow or Saturday to come to the public hearings. They're all-day hearings here in Sacramento, usually from about 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and we're going to get you all the info about when and sort of where the hearings are soon. But to your question, so about the recipients, so you do not have to be born in California, but you have to be a current California resident, and you have to have at least one ancestor who was enslaved somewhere in the United States. So I'll use myself as an example again, too. So I am a current California resident. My ancestors were not enslaved in California, though, On my mother's side, they were enslaved, I believe, in Georgia and I believe in Alabama. So that's fine. I'm a current California resident, and I have at least one ancestor who was enslaved somewhere in this country. I am eligible for reparations in California.
Another question. So is there going to be a federal reparations legislation as well as the California? And if that's the case, does the California reparation recipients, will they be canceled regarding the federal money, any federal reparations?
That's a great question, too. And that's actually one of the dopest questions I hear. And actually, so what our coalition does, a lot of what we do is we go around and we talk about California reparations, and we do California reparations information sessions, California reparations teach-ins, California reparations town halls, California reparations listening sessions, community meetings. And this is one of the most common questions that we get. Is there going to be a federal reparations? And because we get it here in California, if there's a federal thing, will they say, well, y'all got yours already, California, so you're not getting none of this. You know, this is for the people who didn't get it. And, right? It's a great question, right? I mean, I like how we're thinking, because we're thinking about all of the tricks and all that, right? So, right. So to the federal question, and some of y'all may know this, the federal government has been trying to do what California has already done, which is create a commission or a task force to just study and then develop a reparations plan. The federal national government has been trying to do this for 40 years. In 1989, the national politicians, someone by the name of John Conyers, who was a representative from Detroit, he was in the National Congress. He introduced something called H.R. 40. This was in 1989, and it would have created a national reparations commission to do what California is doing, to study reparations and then to develop a reparations plan. Every 2 years, this National Reparations Commission bill dies and doesn't go forward. And so what California said was, we're not waiting for the federal government anymore. We're not waiting for the national government anymore. We're going to just jump out ahead and do this. And hopefully the national government will see what we're doing and then actually use this as a motivation to do something nationally. So I expect that at some point, yes, there will be a national reparations plan, a national reparations program. That's something that we actually fight for at the coalition. One of the things that we help write into the law that created the California Reparations Task Force is like the second to last paragraph or the last paragraph of the law that says something like, just because California is doing this doesn't mean that the federal government is not responsible for doing something too. And we were very serious about writing that into the law because we didn't want the federal government to do, you know, to say, well, California is doing it, so that means we don't have to do it. And so that's partly why we wrote that into the law. So the second part of your question, so again, to the first part, I expect there will be at some point some national reparations plans and national reparations, but the federal government hasn't moved even this far in 40 years. California is the first state to get this far. No other state has this, and the national government, again, is 40 years behind us. To the second part of your question, I don't expect that the national government will say, well, if you got something in California, you can't get something from the national government too. That will be for us to make sure that doesn't happen, though. I expect, and I think like you, that, you know, we have to be very careful and watch for all kinds of things to take away bits and pieces here and there. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's something that we hear, but our job will be to make sure that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I see this long process ahead. And it sounds like it's going through the legislature and its laws and stuff. I see a lot of discord among the people that are going to be putting it all together and finalizing it. It's discouraging in a way.
I understand that. And, you know, I would say this. So, and I usually say this when I do the California reparations information sessions and our community meetings and our town halls and our listening sessions, I usually start off by saying we are closer right now to reparations than we've ever been as a people.
That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Right now, and this is the literal truth, we are closer right now to reparations than we've ever been as a people. So wherever you are right now, wherever you listen right now, stop what you're doing. We are closer right now to reparations than we've ever been as a people, maybe since the end of the Civil War, let's say that. And so, yes, there's going to be – listen, this is not going to be easy. We've never done this before as a people. We've never done this before, and we've never got this far. So is it going to be hard? Yes. Has it been hard even getting this far? Yes. Okay, trust me, just to get the law written to do this, to get the law passed, to do this. I mean, we were at every single committee hearing. We were at every single floor vote. We were at the governor's, calling and sending emails and pushing just to get us here. So is it going to be difficult to get there? Yes. But will we get there? Absolutely yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thank you. All right. Everybody, thank you. Hold out.
Okay. Okay, hold. Thanks for calling in, Ms. Brenda. Okay, I think we got somebody else. Yeah, well, we got a lot of people on the line, that's for sure. Okay, I just want to let everybody know that you're listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show with Mr. Chris Loxton, and if you guys want to ask a question, just go ahead on and press 1, and I'll let you in, and you guys can go ahead on and ask a question, okay? But I have a question, Mr. Chris. Now, I was told, I don't know if this is true or not, but I was told that San Francisco is, they're giving their people, they're giving people respiration.
Thank you for bringing that up. And this is important for people to understand, too. So the state of California has a reparations task force, and this is a group of people. There's 9 people on this task force whose job it is to study reparations, to educate the public about reparations, and then to develop a reparations plan. That's the plan that I've been talking about that's coming out on July 1st of this year. So there's a group of people whose job it is to do all that for the entire state of California. Then, after people in different cities in California saw what the state was doing, different cities in California started to say, hey, wait a minute, our city should do something too, specifically for those people in our city. And San Francisco was one of the first. I believe Los Angeles actually has its own Los Angeles reparations commission. San Francisco has its own San Francisco Reparations Commission. The city of Culver City in Southern California has its own city of Culver Reparations Commission, or it's working on something for the city of Culver. Vallejo, Berkeley, Sacramento is now thinking about this too. So different cities have seen what the state is doing and said, yeah, the state is doing their thing. That's great. We support that. And we as a city should do something specifically for what we're responsible for as a city. Multiple parts of our government did us wrong. I think we all kind of feel that and know that in our real lives. Our cities did us wrong. Our counties did us wrong. Our states did us wrong. And as we were just talking about, the national federal government did us wrong too. And so what you're seeing right now is different parts of our government saying, we did wrong, we want to do something right. So the city of San Francisco is one of them. They were one of the first, and they released their draft plan or their – so it's not a final plan, but it's a draft plan for what they want to do. And I think they're working on finalizing that plan now. And I know they're holding public hearings, and they're holding, I think, city council hearings too, so that you can talk about and talk to the San Francisco group about what should be in the San Francisco plan. That's specifically for San Francisco residents, though.
Uh-huh. Well, you say Sacramento and other little cities. So, were they just picking up where you guys would? Now, is that California? Would that affect them? The let's say resident of San Francisco.
Yeah. Great question. So if you are eligible for reparations at the state level of California, really doesn't matter where you live in California, as long as you're a California resident. So if you're in San Francisco or if you're here in Sacramento, if you're eligible for reparations at the state level, then you would be eligible. If you are, though, a San Francisco resident and San Francisco says you're eligible for what San Francisco, specifically the city, is working on, and that's specifically for San Francisco residents. And as I mentioned, there are other cities who are starting to say, hey, we want to do something for those folks in our city too. And Sacramento is one of those who's just really starting to actually talk about it. Sacramento doesn't have a reparations commission or task force yet. It's actually being talked about now, but LA does. Los Angeles does. As we mentioned, San Francisco does. I believe Vallejo is working on something. Culver City.
Oh, Vallejo too?
Berkeley. Hmm. Yes, there's probably a bunch of cities that are working on something specific for their city too, called reparations. And I know this because each one of those cities was asked by the state reparations task force to come to their last public hearings and talk to the state reparations task force about what their cities are doing. So the state of California reparations task force can learn about what the cities are doing and vice versa. And so, for example, at the hearings that happened for the state task force in January, which were in San Diego, we heard from the city of Sacramento, we heard from the city of Berkeley, and we heard from the city of San Francisco. In December, at the hearings in Oakland for the state task force, we heard from the cities of Vallejo. We heard from the city of Culver City. I think we heard from one or two other cities, too. Across the country, though, there are probably 100 or so different cities, towns, counties that are doing something called reparations now. Over 100. Just in the last year and a half, 2 years.
Are you okay? Now you saying over? Okay, is this throughout California or United States?
Across the country, across the United States. So,
okay.
All together, yeah. All together, if you count up all the different cities all across the United States, there and cities and counties and towns, there are about 100 or so who have either a reparations task force, a reparations commission, or something going on called reparations.
Okay. That's very interesting because I had a email today. The gentleman wanted me to ask you if you think Ohio, the state of Ohio, would ever get reparation, you know, so.
Yeah, and I have to check to see if there – you know, if there are cities in Ohio that are already working on something like this. I know there are some very and this is important for people to know too. So like what is motivating our cities and our counties and our states to actually do this? Like where is this coming from? And a lot of this, to be honest with you, a lot of it is coming from the people. Not all of it, but I would dare say a lot, even most of it, is coming from the people. And that's part of how this work started here in California. The people were getting very loud about wanting their state and the different cities here in California to do something for reparations. And the people started to come together and talk to their state politicians and their state government people and saying, we want you to do something for us. For reparations, and the politicians and the government people started to respond to that. And so for folks in other states outside of California, for folks in other cities outside of California, you can make this happen where you are. If you want it bad enough, two, if you find other people and take some time to find other people who want it bad enough, It doesn't have to be a big, you know, big group of people. Our work here in Sacramento started with three people, and I was one of them. This is back in 2019. I invited really anybody that I could find online who was in the Sacramento area into my living room and said, if you want to work on something called reparations, come to my house. Let's have a conversation and let's see what we can do. Three people showed up, and I was one of the three. So you don't need to have a lot of people to start, but you have to start somewhere. So one, you have to care about it and want it bad enough. Two, you have to find other people. Take some time to find other people. It could be people in your family. It could be people that are your friends. Find some other people who care about it and want it bad enough too, and then start talking to your city council people. Start talking to your county people. Start talking to your state people about what you want to see happen.
All right.
Dad, I'd like to tell
we got
really
about
Mr. Brown, hold on. Just to piggyback off of what Chris was saying, another thing that your friend in Ohio can do is he can glean ideas from the cities and from California who is already implementing some sort of reparations, develop his or her own plan, and find a sponsor, find a state representative or a senator to sponsor the bill and submit it so it can become law in your state. So you can do that too when you say, you know, take the that's an option as well. So go ahead.
All right. Well, we got 3 minutes left on the show, so I'm going to ask Mr. Chris if you got anything positive that tell the audience, to say to the audience, what would that be?
Oh, wow. Well, the first thing I would say is part of what I said earlier today or earlier this evening, which is that we are closer than we've ever been, and that every single one of you who's listening right now, every single one of us who's listening right now is living inside of a history book right now. Literally, right now, you are living inside of a history book. People are going to be reading and writing and talking about what you did right now for reparations 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 50 years from now. We've already made history here in California. There is, again, nothing like what we've done so far. No state has gotten this close, and as I mentioned before, the federal government is 40 years behind us. However, what we have to do next is going to be just as important, just as history-making, if not more. What we have to do next is actually get the plan into law, and that is going to take a lot. And I am 100% confident that we can do it. I'm 1,000% confident that we can do it because I know what our people can do. I have no doubt that we can get this done. So let's get this done.
All right. Well, we only got a minute, and I want to thank a couple of people. I want to thank Recognize Magazine out of New York. They are one of the sponsors for tonight's show, so I want to thank them. And the owner is Ms. Champagne Lloyd, so I really appreciate you. Really appreciate you. And also I would like to thank Slappers on AMP Radio Station. The host is JBTK, JBTK Wave. You can follow him, and if you are artists or anything like that, you guys are welcome to get in contact with JBTK Wave, and he can play your music for you. And they pay you to play your music on his radio station. So we got about 30 seconds left, and I'm going to go ahead on and turn it over to the co-host. Go ahead on and do it.
Oh, well, thanks for that, Mr. Brown. I would just like to thank everybody.
Go ahead, again,
I would like to thank everybody for tuning in. My name, again, is Tamaya Gaines. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook. I will be posting a lot of follow-up content on reparations and possible future broadcasts.
Thank you so much, and you all have a good evening.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and thank you, Mr. Chris Logden, for coming on the show. We really appreciate you, and it's, people are still on right now. They want you to say some more, but we got to go, y'all. And, oh, don't forget Friday, which is tomorrow, and Saturday. Okay, Tamaya's going to post everything, and I'm going to share it, so you guys try to make it to the to the meeting, the reparation meeting, okay, to get more knowledge. Thank you, Mr. Chris, for coming on the Uplifting Communities Talk Show, and thank you, Tamaya, for everything, okay? So we'll see you later.
My pleasure.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.